Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we talk to an economics professor about corruption and the role it plays in regulatory compliance. Plus, a pharmacist discusses an increase in adult immunizations in Arkansas, and we analyze a new state law that addresses the illegal carrying of a weapon.
First, the Secretary of State's office has released a draft of rules for implementing the voter ID law passed during this year's legislative session. Alex Reed, a spokesman for Secretary of State Mark Martin, says lawmakers delegated some rulemaking powers to his office.
The law that was passed by the General Assembly, it gave authority to rulemaking, where we had to propose these rules about the machines and about the cards that voters will need to go in and vote. And so what we did is our legal team put together this set of draft rules to kind of go over what's going to be on the card, how somebody gets the card, and what you need to get the card.
The draft of rules contains numerous forms of documentation that will need to be provided to county clerks starting next year. Governor Mike Beebe opposed the legislation, saying that in-person voter fraud is exceedingly uncommon and that voter ID laws tend to prevent registered voters from voting.
It's been more than 2 months since the oil spill in Mayflower, and concerns remain over the timeline of events. Discrepancies of minutes can mean thousands of additional gallons of oil and toxic fumes. On the day of the spill, Exxon reported pressure drops in the pipeline at 1:15 in the afternoon to the National Response Center. More than a week later, Exxon's website posted that same pressure drop as occurring over an hour later. The NRC says audio of the conversations confirms their reports. Attorney General Dustin McDaniel says he does not believe there is cause for concern over the timeline.
I don't have any specific reason at this point to characterize anything as discrepancies. I mean, I recognize that there are going to be different times of responses for different agencies, different levels, different phone calls.
In Mayflower, residents had to inform authorities with a call at 2:44 in the afternoon. Exxon was then contacted by local authorities at 3:19 and arrived nearly 30 minutes later. But in reports, Exxon claims to have arrived on the ground at 3:15, 4 minutes before local authorities contacted them.
The Friday flooding of Fouche La Fay River in Scott and Yale counties was, by some accounts, a record. Jason Funkhauser is with the U.S. Geological Survey in Little Rock.
Well, we had heavy rains in the area at the USGS Fouche La Fay River Gauging Station near Gravelly, which is in western Arkansas. We recorded somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 or 4 inches of rain that evening, and that's not all that unusual, but what's unusual is that periodically during that time, that evening, we received as much as an inch of rain in 15 minutes, which is very unusual, very heavy rain.
Though the USGS is still analyzing data, Funkhauser says the river rose more than 30 feet as a result of the storm, the highest peak measured at the Gravelly site since measurement of water level stages began in 1939. Funkhauser says the flooding event was larger than the 100-year, or 1% flood level, and was likely closer to the 500-year, or 0.2% flood level, meaning that every year there was a 0.2% chance that a similar flood could happen. He says this storm differs from other significant flooding events in recent years.
Well, the last widespread flooding that Arkansas experienced was in 2011. This was a lot more localized, somewhat similar to what happened a few years ago down at Albert Pike, where you just had one very heavy cell that set over an area for a length of time, long enough for a flood to occur, a massive flood like this.
Funkhauser says during the weekend storm, many of the monitoring gauges across the state experienced between 2 and 5 inches of rain. Scott County, home to part of the Fouche La Fay River, was one of 6 counties that Governor Mike Beebe on Friday declared disaster areas after recent tornadoes, strong storms, and flooding.
The new youth tennis courts at Wilson Park will open this week. A court opening celebration is scheduled for 5:30 to 7 Friday evening at the Fayetteville Park. The court renovations were made possible by a 2-court renovation grant from the United States Tennis Association. Chase Gibson is the recreation superintendent for the city's Parks and Recreation Department, and he says the court renovations were conducted to keep pace with national youth tennis trends.
What that includes is resurfacing the courts and then converting one of the courts into 4 youth courts. So as part of the resurfacing project, this is a big push that the USTA is making for 10 and under tennis. kind of catching up with other sports in that they're trying to adjust the parameters of tennis, like the size of the playing surface, the type of ball you use, the type of equipment you use, to make tennis more friendly to kids age 10 and under.
He says the new courts are specifically designed for younger tennis enthusiasts, something that, until now, hasn't existed in any of Fayetteville's parks.
We're excited about the possibility of kids getting out there and playing, and, you know, kids being active, and any opportunity that you have for children to be active and you have facilities to accommodate the children coming and being active, then that's something that we're excited about, whether it's a, you know, playground or a baseball field or a soccer field or a basketball court.
In addition to the opening of the new youth tennis courts, the Wilson Park pool will also open beginning at 4 p.m. Friday. Admission will be free on opening day, and the opening evening will also kick off the park's dive-in movie series with a viewing of Madagascar 3 beginning at sunset. The movie series is sponsored by the Fayetteville Firefighters Association, and it is free to the public.
Fayetteville has again made a list of the cheapest places to live in the country. According to Kiplinger Magazine's 10 Cheapest U.S. Cities to Live In, Fayetteville ranked fifth. The list was based on the Council for Community and Economic Research calculations of living expenses in 307 urban areas. The publication lists Fayetteville with a cost of living 14% below the national average, a median household income of just under $36,000, and median home values at just under $178,000. Key to Fayetteville's ranking is the fact that while salaries aren't big, unemployment in the area is below the national average, and paychecks stretch further because of low housing, transportation, and utility costs.
Tonight's weather forecast calls for mostly cloudy conditions with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, and lows from 63 in northwest Arkansas to 67 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, with highs from 81 in northwest Arkansas to 85 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow night, expect mostly cloudy conditions with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and lows from 62 to 68 degrees.